Welcome, players.
You're welcome.
Are you up for more Maller mayhem?
Yeah!
It's time now. Benny versus the Penny.
That it is. We are in week 11 of the NFL season. Benny versus the Penny. Every single NFL game against the spread. All the numbers, all that for your dancing and dining pleasure. We will not talk about the Packers, Giants, the Seahawks, and the Titans because they ain't playing. We already gave you the pick on the radio of the Cleveland-Pittsburgh game, which was played back on Thursday night. So the way this works, it is me, Ben, along with David Gascon, who is dying to make an announcement before we actually get to Benny versus the Penny. Gascon, right? You want to do this before because most people don't listen to the whole podcast, right? Most people don't listen to the whole podcast.
But I thought this was a part of Benny versus the Penny.
Okay. All right. Yeah, we'll do that. All right. So here's the thing. All right. So before we get to the actual NFL games you want to hear, Gascon is recommending that we discuss this Friday night. If you didn't hear the other podcast, Friday night, I have been dragged back. I've been on television in a fair amount of time. And I will be doing some television. I will be doing some television on Friday night, and it'll be a high school game for Fox, right? So you better watch.
That's right.
Yeah, and I'm the color commentary. I'm adding the flavor.
You're
I'm Flavor Flav.
You're going to bring out a gold chain now?
I sat next to him one time at a Laker game. That guy's a trip, man.
Look at you, name drop.
He's a trip, man. I don't know. That's not even cool. He's not even a cool guy anymore, right? Come on.
I don't know. You're still name dropping. Anyways,
I learned it from you. All right, so there's a high school game Friday night. It's Jay Serra versus Centennial. It's a Southern California high school game. And you can actually watch this on, what is it, the Fox Sports Go app, Gascon?
Yeah,
is
Fox
that right?
Fox Sports Go app, yeah. So, I mean...
The way I'm thinking about this, if a lot of Maller Militia people watch, like, they might bring me back, right? This could become a regular thing.
What, do you want to do Ask Ben during the game?
Oh, yeah, if it's a boring game, we'll do Ask Ben. That'd be great. We'll take questions from, like, I'll put Doc Mike on. We'll get Lance the bus driver. We'll get Jay Scoop from Seattle. Bill in Iowa. Yeah.
You want me to plug your fucking show during
Justin
a game?
In Cincinnati. Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah. I want you to introduce me, a man that has been blocked by Deshaun Watson, Ndamukong Suh, William Shatner.
I still got to figure the open and how I'm going to introduce you. So
I understand. Well, listen, to handicap the game now. All right, so there's no point spread as far as I know in high school football. I don't think they put point spreads out in high school football. But I would imagine Centennial, looking at the stats and the records, I would think Centennial – high-powered offense, several blue-chip recruits there on that team. The Jay Serra team, a younger team. I would think Centennial's favored by like 7 to 10 points. However, I think there's value with Jay Serra here, Gascon. So to handicap the game, the pick is in. I am going to take Jay Serra to cover the point spread. Centennial wins the game, but Jay Serra will be able to cover the point spread. I love this running back. I was watching some videos. I never even heard of this guy, Chris Street, this running back for Jay Serra, who looks like Darren Sproles to me, a little small guy with these huge thighs that runs through. You can't even see him, and then he just bulls you over.
Yeah.
And I guess he's going to Cal, right?
He is. He's going to Cal.
Where Beast Mode went. So I think the key, obviously, when you're on the road in a hostile environment, I learned this from the NFL, Gascon. You have to play conservative, run the ball, take time off the clock, right? They have a great running back. Now, obviously, Centennial is going to bottle up and try to stop Chris Stewart and force Jay Serra to win the game through the air. But I love it. This guy's been great, and I think you can hang around, keep the game close, playoff game. Guys will be nervous. So I'm going to take Jay Serra plus the points to cover the spread against Centennial, but Centennial will win the game at Husky Stadium, which I thought was in Seattle, but apparently it's in Corona, California. I had no idea. How about that for a handicapping job, Gascon?
You didn't give the temperature. You didn't give the broadcasters.
It'll be 75 degrees at kickoff, and to make sure they spell my name right. All right, they got to spell my name correct, please.
You forgot the score too.
I forgot the score?
Yeah.
Oh, the final score. All right, final score will be Centennial 38, Jay Serra 31. That, boom. And the Penny picks.
Penny is going with Centennial as well.
Oh, we have disagreement. I just pick underdogs, Yeska. That's what I do. I pick underdogs. I'm an underdog player. That's how I roll.
Oh,
plus, man. I gotta pick my OC guys. You know, Jay Sarah, which was a high school. I'm so old it didn't even exist.
Yeah.
But this conference they're in, it just blew me away when I was doing some research here, and I saw Modern Day and St. John Bosco and all the Santa Margarita. When I was in high school, we played Santa Margarita, and they were amazing.
Yeah.
Brian Finneran, who was a receiver for the Atlanta Falcons, he had a twin brother. He played at Santa Margarita. We played them my senior year in high school. I believe we lost that game 49-3.
Oh shit!
They just kicked our ass, and so that was kind of cool.
I bet you didn't think that in 2019 you'd be handicapping a prep game.
No, I have not done a high school game since I was at like Saddleback College. Oh. This is crazy. But I'm actually kind of excited about it because, as my wife says, you have to go outside your comfort zone from time to time. So I'll just have fun. It'll be fun. We'll have a good time with
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
And remember, we need the Maller Militia, because I think if the Maller Militia watches this, because they can count how many people are watching the stream, that'll encourage them to maybe pay us more and use me again. I don't want to do it every week, but hey, once in a while. I think it would be fun once in a while.
They play once a week. What the fuck are you complaining about?
I'm a very
about?
Busy man. I'm a very busy man, Giscon. Very, very busy. All right. Are we done with that?
Yeah.
Can we move on?
Yeah.
Can we actually get to the NFL games that people wanted to hear? Yes?
You could have. Yeah, of course.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
All right. Now, before we look ahead, we must look back. I did not lose a game last week in Week 10. Yes, God. Not a single incorrect pick. It's the first time in my life I've gotten every game correct. Thank you very much. Where's my congratulatory tweet? I had a perfect week last week. That's right. Perfection. Perfectamundo.
I'd like to give an applause to the nurses, the doctors, the anesthesiologists, everyone that was able to get you in the upright position and eventually out of the hospital.
Well, it's good. I didn't get like staph infection or gangrene or something like that. You hear these stories about people that go to the hospital. You're like, oh, man.
Yeah, especially out of Cleveland, right? Wasn't like a span of 3 or 4 players in a 2-year span?
Yeah, yeah. It was Tampa Bay. I think it was Tampa Bay that had that.
Yeah.
They had a big problem. All right. So it's week 11. We did the Thursday game on the radio, so we'll start out with Dallas at Detroit. Now, the way this works on the handicapping side, we break down every game. We give you some information on every game. And then if you agree, the way it should work, if you agree, you do your own work. And then if we line up, that's a game you should probably bet on. So Dallas 5-4, Detroit 3-5-1. It's on Fox with Kevin Burkhardt and Charles Davis. I'm sorry, this is not a Dick Stockton game, Gascon, but you've got the Cowboys, who opened up a 2.5-point favorite. They have skyrocketed all the way up to 6.5 as a road favorite. It's sunny, 33 degrees outside of Ford Field, Detroit at kickoff on Sunday afternoon, the early TV window. The pick is in, and I am taking the Detroit Lions. I am taking the Lions here. Now, Matt Patricia and Detroit are going to attempt to do what everyone does against the Cowboys and stop Zeke Elliott and force Dak Prescott to beat them. Even if they are successful, it won't matter. Why is that? Because it's looking like Matthew Stafford, he's going to miss this start, which means Jeff Driscoll will get another opportunity to start for Detroit. In his first start with the Lions, his claim to fame is he ran for 37 yards. And the reason that's interesting is because he led the Lions in rushing. He's the fifth different player the last 5 games to lead the Lions in rushing. That's not good, especially he only had 37 yards. Now, secondly, the Lions' Achilles heel happens to be in their secondary. And so while they would like to force Dak Prescott to beat them, I think we all know that that likely is something that Dak will be able to do. Everyone is polarizing the Detroit Lions defense. Detroit is 28th. In pass defense, they're allowing 272 yards per game. Now, the reason I'm taking the Lions, Jason Garrett's team lost to the Jets. So anything is possible. If you lose to the Jets and you're the Cowboys, you can certainly lose to the Lions, who I believe are about the same, maybe a little better than the Jets, right? And the beleaguered Cowboy coach, you figure, well, even he can't screw it up. But then you're like, well, I think this game will be a closer game. I love home dogs. I like the home doggy. And the Cowboys, they have a much more important game for them against the Patriots. So this is a peekaboo game where, well, Dallas, you figure they'll be focused because they lost to the Vikings last week and they've not been playing very well lately. But it's a much bigger game with the Cowboys next week with a lot of national flavor to it. There's no national flavor to this Dallas-Detroit game. So the Cowboys will win, but they won't cover the spread. Cowboys 28, Jeff Driscoll and the Lions 24.
Penny does not like your decision. Going with the Dallas Cowboys.
All right, next up, New Orleans at Tampa Bay. The Saints 7-2. The Bucs are 3-6. It's on Fox. And are we playing the Dick Stockton game?
Yeah, we can. This is not a Dick Stockton game.
That is correct. It is a Tom Brenneman, Chris Spielman game. They will have the call. Now, the line on this game, the Saints opened up a 5-point favorite. They're a 5.5-point favorite. The New Orleans Saints favored by 5.5 here. The weather mostly sunny. 65 degrees at kickoff at Raymond James Stadium for Bruce Arians, my brother from a different mother. We wear the same hat. And I'm going to take the Buccaneers here. And I admit this is not one of my greater picks, but I'm just feeling the Buccaneers, and I'll tell you why. Drew Brees, not only did he look old against the Falcons last week, but he also apparently has some kind of rib problem, and I believe he's so stubborn, he's just going to continue playing and try to play through it because he doesn't want to go to the bench and then have Teddy Bridgewater light up the scoreboard again. So something bizarro is happening here. I would agree with most casual people that on paper, the Saints should win this game by 40 points. But they still got to play the game. It's a road matchup. Generally, that's problematic over this great run of Saints football. They're not nearly as lethal outside the bayou as they are in Louisiana. Most teams are not as good on the road as at home, but the Saints also, as road favorites by 4 or more points, have a .385 winning percentage under Sean Payton in recent years. And that's also something to factor in. That's not great. I mean, road favorites generally not a great formula to make a lot of money. And secondly, Tampa, now they're not a good team. They should be able to stop the running game, Alvin Kamara. They've been effective against the run because no one's even trying to run. Everyone can throw against them. The Bucs have the NFL's worst pass defense. They're allowing 298.9 yards per game. So for me, I'm going to need Jameis Winston to make a bunch of big plays. He's also thrown a bunch of big pass numbers up. In fact, Winston's got the longest active streak of 300-plus passing games, 4 straight. Divisional games are generally close by nature. I am going to cover my eyes here. And I'm going to take the Buccaneers to hang around, take that home dog divisional game. It's not 7 points, but it's 5.5. Saints 26, Bucs 23.
Penny going that way, going with the Buccaneers.
So do we have time to get trivial, or should we knock trivial stuff out of the show?
Yeah, you know what? I have a question for you, but I'll ask you when we come to that game in D.C. But yeah, let's get trivial, Dan.
All right. Matt Ryan needs 254 yards to surpass blank for the 10th most passing yards in NFL history. Matty Ice, he needs 254 yards this weekend to pass blank for the most or the 10th most passing yards in NFL history. Give you the answer in a couple minutes. Here, speaking of Atlanta, the Falcons 2-7, Carolina 5-4. Is this the Dick Stockton game?
It is not.
You are wrong. You lose the Dick Stockton. This is the Dick Stockton game. Our friend Dick and Mark Schlereth have the call on Fox. I bet you Dick Stockton wishes he was doing the prep zone game on Friday, but he's not. He's not allowed to do it.
I think his paycheck's probably a little bit heavier.
I do not think that at all. Anyway, listen, the Panthers opened a 7-point favorite. Carolina is favored by 5.5. The weather here, mostly sunny, 52 degrees at kickoff at Bank of America Stadium in Charlotte, North Carolina. It's a divisional matchup. The Falcons are my pick. I'm going to take Atlanta here. And I'll give you my logic behind it. Now, obviously, Christian McCaffrey, A, is a great player. He's been Mr. Consistent. He's gone 7 straight games with a rushing touchdown. He'll get his numbers here against Atlanta. But I am banking on the Falcons trying to build on what they did last week and not just being satisfied that was their Super Bowl. They won a game against the Saints. They're going to come back and commit. Commit to the things they did last week. They changed the defensive play calling. And I don't know who the guy is. I don't know his name here, but they took it away from the head coach. And it obviously worked. The Saints had 9 points. That's it, 9 points. Now, this is a game that you would figure Atlanta, if they follow those same principles, should be able to attack Kyle Allen, who cooled off a bit after playing pretty well the first couple of weeks. He's been okay, but he hasn't gotten better. Now, B, the big difference is defensive tenacity if you look at the numbers. But you can, the Panthers lead the NFL in sacks. They've got the most by any team through 9 games since the Chiefs back in 2013. The Falcons, they are 30th in sacks, which means that Kyle Allen should have plenty of time to do his thing. But Atlanta had 6 sacks against the Saints last week. So that's why I'm saying you got to throw the numbers out, because if that Atlanta team shows up, if you get 6 sacks against the Saints, you should be able to get 4 or 5 sacks against Carolina using simpleton knowledge. Despite all that, this is also a peekaboo situation for Carolina. They have a key NFC South matchup with the New Orleans Saints next week. And they're still thinking Carolina, they can catch New Orleans in the division. New Orleans is 7-2. Carolina's 5-4. Carolina wins this game, they get to 6 wins. Let's say New Orleans stumbles in Tampa, and all of a sudden, next week's matchup becomes unbelievably important and can shake up the NFC South. So when you got the peekaboo situation and all that, an Atlanta team feeling pretty good, hopefully they don't just pack it in and start sucking their thumb in the fetal position. I am going to take the Carolina Panthers to win, but I'm going to take the Falcons to cover. So 31-30, Gesco. I had the pregnant pause there.
It's all good, because you don't look pregnant anymore. Penny's going with the Panthers.
I feel pregnant, though. I do.
Why?
All right.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
Let's get trivial. Matt Ryan needs 254 yards to surpass blank for the 10th most passing yards in NFL history. Fill in the blank, Gascon.
Show me your lightning bolt. Is it Dan Fouts?
Dan Fouts, a great name. 1970s, 80s, Chargers football, San Diego Chargers. I love the San Diego Chargers. No. Mm. The correct answer, Warren Moon.
Oh.
Hall of Famer Warren Moon.
Houston Oilers.
The Oilers and a bunch of other teams.
Vikings.
He bounced around. Chiefs. They were there.
CFL.
I think he played with the Seahawks also at the end.
That's right.
He bounced around.
Yeah.
And is he still a Seahawks broadcaster? Who knows? Jacksonville, 4-5 at Indianapolis, 5-4. It's on CBS. Andrew Catalan and James Lofton have the call. Now, the Colts opened a 3.5-point favorite. They are favored now by 2.5. It's going to be mostly cloudy, 41 degrees at kickoff at Lucas Oil Stadium. And the pick is in. I'm going to take Jacksonville in this game. Now, a couple of things. Number one, Nick Foles, he's back. I don't know if that's a good thing or not. I like Gardner Minshew, but Minshew mania ran out of gas. That whole thing, is it a fad or is it a trend? Well, it appears that Minshew mania was a fad, not a trend, unfortunately. Hopefully he'll be back at some point. I like the guy, but he did not play as well. The more he played, the more teams figured him out. I have no idea what to expect from Nick Foles. He's a second-rate quarterback in my book who had an out-of-body experience in Philadelphia. If the Colts had a losing record, I would certainly like Jacksonville more in this game. The Jags are 4-0 against teams with a .500 winning percentage or lower, but 0-5 against teams that are currently above .500, where Indianapolis is 5-4. And you look at the numbers recently, it's not been good. The Jags are just 2-7 against divisional opponents since the start of last year. And the only teams worse have been the Bengals and the Jets. It's not good. Now, the second thing here, for Indy, it appears that Jacoby Brissett, who's had a knee problem, didn't play last week, he's expected to start, at least as the time we're recording the podcast, he's going to start. And that's a relief, because Brian Hoyer completely screwed up against the Dolphins. Hoyer has lost all of his last 10 starts with 4 different teams. And you lose to the Dolphins. I mean, what are you doing? And you're at home, and you got that roster. I know Vinatieri's messed up and all that, The Colts roster has been crippled. It's not Brissett's coming back, but there's a bunch of other guys that are either playing injured or not playing at all on both sides of the ball. So I'm not that confident in Nick Foles 2.0, but the fact that the Colts roster is dinged up and Jacoby Brissett likely will not be quite himself with the knee and all that, I am all about that action, boss. Jacksonville will win this game outright. People say, what's wrong with the Colts? How did they lose back to back to back here? I'll take Jacksonville 20, Colts 16.
Penny likes the way you think. Going with the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
It is Benny versus the Penny, and I love, Gascon, that you're so focused on this that you're checking out your favorite website, the Babylon Bee, right? Is that how you say it? Yeah, you love that, man. You are all about that.
It's a good parody account.
I know. Yeah, I don't even have to read it because anything on there you send, it's fascinating. All right, Denver 3-6 at Minnesota 7-3. It's on CBS. My tribute to Pat Summerall. Kevin Harlan and Rich Gannon have the call. The Vikings opened up a 10.5-point favorite. They are currently favored by 10.5. It's going to be cloudy and 36 in the Twin Cities outside of U.S. Bank Stadium. It'll be fine inside the dome. I'm going to take the Broncos, your Broncos, in this game. Now, first of all, Denver was able to squeeze past Cleveland, and it wasn't even really a squeeze pass because they were leading by, I think it was 12 points going to the fourth quarter in that game. That was Brandon Allen's maiden voyage in Denver. And they then had the bye week, and now they get another chance to, Allen does, to show that he's not a bum. Good luck, because Drew Locke is lurking in the shadows there. He's going to be the guy, Locke, that eventually ends up taking over. But Allen, with a very conservative remedial game plan, was surprisingly solid. He only attempted 20 passes. He completed 12 of them. He had a couple of touchdowns, no interceptions. The issue here is obviously going to be much harder against the Vikings defense than it is against the Browns defense. And also Vic Fangio's team, the fatal flaw. I would really like the Broncos more if they were able to create mistakes. The Broncos have not forced a single turnover in 6 games this season. So there's only 3 games they forced a turnover. That is tied for the most 0 takeaway games in any season in franchise history. This is a historically bad Bronco defense as far as forcing turnovers. Now, the second thing here, Minnesota. My main reason for picking the Broncos is more against Minnesota. I love Minnesota. They should win the game. But Minnesota has been celebrated, not as much as the Ravens, but close, all week for beating the Cowboys in the Sunday night game. That's great. But I suspect they are going to have trouble focusing. They're going to be caught looking in the mirror at how beautiful they look. And they don't, because everyone's been kissing their ass here. And as a result, I expect them to not fully be prepared in this game. This is a classical letdown spot against a team with a losing record. The Broncos defense, while they haven't forced turnovers, they've been pretty good against the pass. And all Denver has to do is find a little success with Philip Lindsay running the ball, and they will cover the number. It's a double-digit line. Here's a fun fact. The Broncos are 9-2 when Philip Lindsay rushes for at least 70 yards. When he doesn't, when he's held under 70, they're 0-13. That's my fun fact.
That's a good fact.
Thank you. Vikings 27, Broncos 20.
Some odd reason the Penny is going with the Broncos, too.
Yeah, I think I know the reason for that, but we will not say. Next up, the Jets. J-E-T-S. Suck, 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 suck. 2-7 and Washington.
Now, see, here's the question I have for you.
1-8.
Since you were on vacation last week.
In the hospital, yes.
Yeah, I had to pay homage to you, so I elected not to do the podcasts.
Yeah. I told you to do the podcast.
I didn't want to. Well, I did want to.
You wanted me to do the podcast with you from the hospital gurney.
I did, yes.
Yeah. You wanted me to wear my hospital gown like a muyah.
But I also have
a moo-moo.
I have a female friend based in New York. Oh,
congratulations. You have a female friend.
And I was going to have her come on and be alongside me for the journey. But she is a huge Jets fan and a huge Utah Utes fan. So So I need to get permission from you that next time you're in the hospital, we can do this without you.
Oh, yeah, I don't care. Well, I might be in the hospital next week. Who knows? No, come on.
Listen, last time I brought you on the air with me, I lost a job. So
if you lost a job.
Yeah. Remember 2016?
No, that's right. That's right.
We were in Baker. What do you mean that's right? We were in Bakersfield.
Yeah.
Brought you on the air and then I lost a job. The whole team franchise closed down.
Yeah, that was a horrible night. It was oppressively hot. You put me in the cool zone where I'm meeting listeners. It dripped. The cooling fan dripped down and made it look like I peed my pants. And I'm meeting listeners with this wet spot because the fan thing broke. And, good times. Good times. Hard to believe that team's not around. That's where they ought to make the Houston. I think it was our friend in Bakersfield, Rod in Bakersfield, who pointed this out, though, to me the other day. He said, the Major League Baseball people should force the Astros to move to Bakersfield for a couple years and play with the sun in center field.
That's right.
And they have to play day games with the sun in center field. And then the other team can play. They can have their at-bats at night when the sun goes down.
That'd be perfect.
Yeah. All right, Jets are 2-7. Washington's 1-8. It's on Fox. You better watch. This had Dick Stockton written all over it.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
You know who's doing this game?
This is going to be...
Come on.
Oh,
come on. Come on.
I'm going to say Mark Schlereth and who does Schlereth work with? No, Schlereth works with Dick Stockton. So,
No answer. This is someone that you like this person.
Kenny Albert.
Yeah, there you go. Pots and pans.
How did he get this game?
Because it's a New York team. Doesn't it seem like Kenny Albert, he does like the Giants or the Jets every other week. He's doing a New York day. They don't normally do the Jets on Fox, but this, for some reason, even though this game's in Washington, it's a Fox game.
Well, that's right, because he does like the Capitals a lot. He does the Rangers.
Yeah.
So that makes, okay, I get
now,
it.
I text my buddy, Sports with Coleman, who we're mutual friends with Kenny Albert, and like every night, Kenny is in a different city.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm asking, like, how does he remember what hotel room he's in? You know, I would not remember. I always have to take a photo with my phone. And Kenny Albert, I don't believe he's there yet, but Kenny Albert likely is. You remember that movie with George Clooney like 10 years ago, Up in the Air?
Yeah.
With 10 million frequent flyer miles?
Yeah.
Kenny Albert's got to be closing in on 10 million frequent flyer miles. It's insane.
We need to have dinner with him. I need to pick his brain.
Well, he's going to be in Vegas next weekend for a fight. You want to go to Vegas for the fight?
I'm down. Well, are you going to be allowed to go?
Oh, I don't know about that. Yeah, I'm not sure about that. You have to check. See if I'm put on probation or not. I've allowed out the terms of the probation. So the Jets are 2-7. Washington's 1-8 on Fox. We could probably get really good tickets because Kenny will hook us up.
Oh, not from your buddy Tom Looney?
No, not from him. Redskins opened up a 1.5-point favorite. They're favored by one. Mostly cloudy, 41 at kickoff at FedEx Field. I'm taking the Jets. J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets. Now, I don't love this pick because it's two bad teams. Both these teams have been unsatisfactory and inadequate, and that's an understatement. But you take the lesser of two evils here, and you go with the Jets. Sam Darnold will not see any ghosts this week against the Redskins defense, even though they're getting some guys back. I saw that Adam Gase received a vote of confidence for some reason for the Jets, and good luck on that. Now, part B, the rookie, Dwayne Haskins, he is going to now be the Redskins starter for the rest of the year. He provided an all-out comedy of errors in some of these games he's played in. Now, I loved Haskins at Ohio State, but let's call it what it is. He's been a dirty diaper in the NFL. Washington. Now, they are coming off a bye week, so they had a little extra rest. They lost to Buffalo 24-9 back in week 9. Washington has failed to get to 10 points in any of their last three games. They've gone a month without scoring a touchdown. Very impressive. The only concern is that the public is loading up on the Jets. I'm never comfortable being on the side of Joe Schmo, but it is two bad teams. The Jets should win this game. I'm going to take the Jets 13, Redskins 9.
In honor of Felix the Cat, we're going with the J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets.
My old producer, Felix the Cat. Very nice of you.
What?
Yeah. I had a producer named Felix.
Did he get fired?
No, he left. He's about to have a kid, though. He's knocked up the old lady there. Yeah, his kid's coming out in January. Yeah.
This Felix is a little bit different.
Oh, I guess so. All right, Buffalo 6-3 at Miami 2-7. It's on CBS. Spiro Ditas and Adam Archuleta will be putting lipstick on pigs, calling this game. The Bills opened up a 7.5-point favorite. They are favored by 6. It'll be partly sunny, 77 degrees at kickoff at Hard Rock Stadium in South Florida. I'm going to take the Bills here. Now, I don't normally like betting favorites. I try to avoid betting favorites, but the Dolphins' blow for Burrow or tank for Tua campaigns have taken a beating here with back-to-back wins. And if they have any hopes here of maintaining that top three or four pick status, they got to get back to their losing ways. Brian Flores could be fired if they keep winning. He's going against the franchise business charter here in Miami. I believe it is back to reality this week. Ryan Fitzpatrick and friends have been playing above their means lately. There will assuredly be a bunch of Buffalo Bills fans here from Western New York. I think this will be like a Charger game where there's more fans of the other team. The only concern is the great equalizer of turnovers, and Josh Allen is the compass rose. You don't know where he's throwing the ball. The receivers don't know where he's throwing the ball. But Miami has not been very good at forcing mistakes. This is one of those odd things. For example, last week they had 3 takeaways, the Dolphins in Indy. That almost doubled their entire season total of takeaways in one game last week, and that was because Brian Hoyer played. They had 13 takeaways, nearly tripling their season total to 7. They went 7-20. There's a lot of numbers. I'm going to ride with Buffalo, and they should win this game comfortably. Bills 34, Dolphins 20.
Penny's going that way, going with the Buffalo Bills and the Mafia.
All right, next up, Houston 6-3 at Baltimore 7-2. It's on CBS with Ian Eagle and Dan Fouts, who was already referenced in this show. The Ravens opened up a 5-point favorite. They're favored by 4 now. Cloudy and 43 degrees at kickoff at M&T Bank Stadium in Baltimore, Maryland, with Sports with Coleman, our friend, in attendance. I'm going to take the Texans in this game. And I'll tell you my logic behind it. Now, first of all, Lamar Jackson has the cleanest tuchus and the cleanest toes in all of the NFL because the media has just been lick, lick, lick. They've been giving him a bubble bath, and all because he feasted on the Bungles. Right? He fattened up his stats like a turkey before Thanksgiving, and we pointed this out on the radio show, but this is an amazing factoid. I know you don't listen to the radio show, Gascon, but Lamar Jackson is the greatest quarterback in NFL history against the worst of the worst. He is mortal against average to above average teams. Now, my evidence, against the Dolphins and Bengals, he has averaged in 2 games almost 15 yards per attempt, 8 touchdowns, no interceptions. Against the 7 other opponents the Ravens have played as a passing quarterback, Lamar Jackson's averaging less than 7 yards per attempt, 7 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. Now, I'm not here to sing the praises of the Houston Texans, but they're certainly better. They're a playoff team right now. They're better than the Dolphins and the Bengals. Now, and the other thing, Houston is coming off a bye. They had a win over Jacksonville in London, so they've had a little bit of extra time. This is a good matchup for Deshaun Watson, who I've been critical of over the years. Watson is one of the better quarterbacks in the NFL against the blitz. What do the Ravens do on defense? Blitz, 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 blitz. They blitz more than any other team in the NFL. And this should be another close game. The number's only 4 points here in this game. The Texans are one of 2 teams that has not lost by more than 7 points over the last 2 seasons. So you think maybe a monster teaser or something like that. The other team, by the way, is the Chiefs. But here's another spot. We say, is this where Lamar Jackson gets caught shamelessly staring at his reflection in the mirror himself after that big victory last week, I say a little of that does happen. Plus, they have a West Coast trip. The Ravens play the Rams next week in a primetime game. I'm going to take the Texans to win the game outright. Houston 37, Baltimore 36.
Penny going that way as well with the Houston Texans.
All right, next up, Arizona 3-6-1 at Santa Clara 8-0. We start the late portion of the television window here with this game, late games.
We don't have any, no more trivia from you?
I have more.
Well, what the hell? We only have three more games left.
Well, relax, okay?
Ugh.
All right, I know other people want to use the studio, so. Anyway, it's on Fox. Chris Myers, my former colleague, a respected member of the broadcast community, and Daryl Moose Johnston, former Cowboy, have the call. Now, the game opened up. The Niners are up 14-point favorites, down to 11, so the Niners are favored by 11. Mostly sunny, 69 degrees at kickoff at Levi's Stadium in Santa Clara, where the Niners play their home games. The pick is in. I'm going to take the Cardinals. And here's why. It is not a mortal sin to lose to the Seahawks, but if the Niners start losing, if they lose this game, that becomes a problem. Now, I think that the Niners, you figure, should win the game. They need to get their mojo back against an inferior opponent. Jimmy Garoppolo has been fine against the lightweights of the NFL. He had good numbers when these teams played a few weeks ago. And Arizona is 27th in scoring defense, so it's not like they have a ball-hawking, amazing defense. They don't, but the Niners are still shorthanded. They have no George Kittle this week. Who knows what, if anything, Emmanuel Sanders will be able to provide. It sounds like he'll be playing, but it could change between now and the kickoff, so keep an eye on that. The other thing, Kyler Murray, Alligator Arms Murray, has been great in garbage time. 25% of this guy's passing touchdowns and 26% of Alligator Arms Murray's yards have come when the Cardinals have trailed by multiple scores. And he's got a 98.2 passer rating in those games. So he's very comfortable when the Cardinals are way behind. And then when the Cardinals are ahead, which doesn't happen all that often, he's got a passer rating of below 79. So his numbers have been inflated by the Cardinals being down and teams playing a soft defense against him. I expect even more dumpster diving here. The old backdoor cover. Anytime you get over 7 points in a divisional game, you don't ask questions. You take the points. I love the double-digit dogs. And I will take the 49ers to win 33-26. Cardinals will cover.
Penny going with the team from the desert, Arizona Cardinals.
All right, next up, we'll get trivial in honor of Gascon. You should get this because you're a Bronco fanboy. Broncos quarterback Brandon Allen became the first quarterback with a touchdown pass of 75-plus yards in his first career start since blank. All right, the answer coming up here in a couple minutes. Next game up for us, New England 8-1 at Philadelphia. 5-4, it's on CBS with Jim Nance and Tony Romo. This is a big game for CBS. Patriots opened a 3-point favorite. They're favored by 3.5. It's going to be cloudy, 39 degrees on Broad Street, just off Broad Street there in South Philly at Lincoln Financial Field. The Eagles, the Birds. I'm going to take the Eagles in this game, and here's why. Now, you assume the Patriots are going to bounce back in a big way coming off a bye week after being mollywopped by the Ravens. Bill Belichick getting extra time often has been lethal, but the Eagles also are coming off a bye week. So both teams are coming in even in this, and they should get a big boost as well. Doug Peterson, 12-7 against the spread when having extra time to prepare for an opponent. Now, the reason to like Philly is home dog, and the Eagles have a pretty good pass rush. The Patriot offensive line, not very good. So Tom Brady, who will cover for the offensive line by throwing the ball quickly, but he's going to be under siege. Okay, he's going to be under siege. Now, secondly, Philly should be able to control the line of scrimmage on offense as well. They have a pretty good offensive line. Carson Wentz is obviously not a dual threat quarterback. If you think he's like Lamar Jackson, he's not. And Lamar gave him fits the last game the Patriots played. But the Eagles can run the ball effectively with Jordan Howard and Sanders. I believe they'll be able to run the ball a little bit in this game. And I just have to see the Patriots after that stank in Baltimore come out and just kick the snot out of somebody. They got to show me that before I get back on the Patriot bandwagon, because the Eagles are not a bad team. So there's like an average NFL team. I'm going to take the Eagles to win the game outright. Eagles 30, Patriots 27.
Fly, Eagles, fly.
Fly, Eagles, fly on the road to victory. All right, let's get trivial. The answer, Broncos quarterback Brandon Allen, the first QB with a touchdown pass of 75-plus yards in his first career start since blank.
I'm going to go with Dante Culpepper.
Good name. Vikings Randy Moss, big touchdown passes back in the day before he needed a medicine man. No. The correct answer, RG3. Robert Griffin III, when he had that breakout rookie season, his first game, he had an 88-yard touchdown pass back in 2012. All right, next up, Cincinnati 0-9 at Oakland.
Don't do it.
5-4. It's on CBS with Greg Gumbel and Trent Green. The Raiders open an 8-point favorite. They're favored by 10.5. 67 degrees in the Bay Area kickoff at Ring Central Coliseum. Not corporately named at all. I just call it the Oakland Alameda County Coliseum. The pick is in, Gascon.
Don't do it.
Bengals! 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 I'm taking the Bengals. The Bungles. I am. First of all, listen, the Raiders, you assume, I was like, they can't screw this up, right? Come on. This is a show-up, collect-a-win situation here. Just don't commit penalties. Well, the Raiders lead the NFL in penalties per game. So it's possible. Now, you would think Derek Carr will make enough plays here to win this game against a second-rate Bengals defense. This is a big point spread. Now, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that Ryan Finley is any good. You'd be better off with Brian Finley playing quarterback if you're Cincinnati. He looked completely overmatched against the Ravens, a very small sample size. Guys can obviously get better from the first start to the second start, because once the Raider defense looks at that tape, they're going to start laughing and say, we don't have to do anything. This guy sucks. And now, Finley's trying to audition for the Bengals starting job in 2020, but really he's just ensuring them that they get a shot at Joe Burrow in the April draft. Now, that said, I'm going to take the points here for two reasons. The Raiders have yet to beat anyone by more than 8 points, and they played some bad teams. Plus, over the long run, betting on double-digit dogs has proven to be a pretty good gambling strategy, and it's been very effective for me. Plus, the Bengals, even though they're terrible now, they were decent in recent years. Over the last decade, they are 4-1 in California. The Cincinnati Bengals have a 4-1 record against the teams in California. They've done very well. Raiders will win, but they won't cover. Raiders 28, Bengals 20.
Penny's going with the Raiders.
All right. That's just got to pain you as a Bronco fan.
I'm not a fan. I'm just an observer.
You're an observer?
Yeah.
An independent observer?
I'm not putting any money on the Bengals.
Yeah, you gotta do it sometimes.
You have died over several weeks of taking the Dolphins.
Well, yeah, but then the Dolphins all of a sudden started covering. If I had bet on the Dolphins the last 3 weeks, I would have won all those games.
Ugh.
All right, next up, Sunday Night Football. Chicago 4-5 at the LA Rams. 5-4. It's on NBC. You think Al Michaels can join us on Friday? He's calling this game, so he's not traveling anywhere.
Yeah,
that high school game we're doing?
That'd be great.
Yeah. Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth on the Peacock Network. The Rams opened a 7.5-point favorite.
You brought this up.
What's that?
Should we do an open like they do it? Like, should I wear a sweater like Al Michaels, then slide you in?
Yeah, I you know what we should do? I'd like to do it. Can I slide in? That's a great idea, guess guy. We got to do that. Let's do it. Can we do it?
Yeah, we can.
I want to slide in, and I'll have this goofy smile on my face too, like Chris Collinsworth. This goofy, creepy smile.
Oh,
I got to do it. We got to do it. Come on.
All right.
Think of the rate. People will be tuning in just for the open, Gascon, to see me slide in like Collinsworth.
How are you?
Come on.
How are you on stand-ups? Are you good on opens?
I haven't done one in like 10 years, but yeah, I mean it's. It's all right. I mean, you know, it's pretty simple, right? You just throw a bunch of cliches out there and all that. And yeah. Well, I remember when I was in college and we used to do the Saddleback football and basketball games. This guy, Brad Hoisef, who I worked with. And Brad, it was always funny because he was the play-by-play guy and I was the color commentator. And he would say something. And I'd say, well, that's right, Brad. You know, because he'd lead me into something with some stat. You know, I'd say, that's right. So that's the key when you're a color commentator. Whatever you say, Gascon, like you'll lead me into an answer about the running back for Jay Sarah, right? This high school kid.
Right.
And I'll say, that's right, David. He's a great player. You know, like that's how you do it.
Well, just don't be like, what's his name? Was it Monty in Major League?
Oh,
where he just doesn't talk at all. Bob Uecker's like dynamite color, Monty.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. Get that flop sweat going. Anyway, Bears and Rams. Bears and Rams here, you know, clear 72 Sunday night, late evening at the Coliseum in Los Angeles at kickoff. Now, I love the Rams. I'm all about the Rams, but there's no way in hell I'm betting on the Rams this week. No, I hope they win. I hope I lose this bet, but I'm taking the Chicago Bears. And I'll tell you why. First of all, it is impossible for me, having watched the Rams, to take the Rams and lay this number. Jared Goff has 8 interceptions, 7 fumbles over his last 7 games. Chicago's got a ball-hawking, opportunistic defense led by Khalil Mack. The Rams have a battered and broken offensive line. This is a recipe for a whole lot of mistakes, right? A whole lot of mistakes. Now, secondly, the Rams' defense has been fine. It's the offense that is broken, in my opinion. Now, statistically, they haven't been that bad. The Rams have the NFL's number one defense over the last 3 weeks. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah, number one, last 3 weeks. They're allowing just 12 points per game. And they're going to have to play like that to have a shot here. Mitch Trubisky's no good. I know that. And the LA offense has been more of the middle of the bell curve in recent weeks. And history is not on the side of the Rams. The Rams have lost 6 of 7 to Chicago. And check this out. I looked it up because I know, being a Ram fan over the years, that they always seem to lose against the Bears. And it turns out that the Rams have a 399 winning percentage historically against Chicago. That is their worst record against any NFC opponent in franchise history. They have not been worse against anybody other than the Bears. So I hope I'm wrong, but I'm going to take Chicago 24, the Rams 20.
No way the Penny's going with the Rams either. Going with the Chicago Bears.
The Bears. All right, next up, Monday Night Football. And I want to tell you, I'm watching that game. I'm pulling for the Rams, even though I picked the Bears. All right, Monday Night Football, Kansas City, 6-4 at Mexico. The Mexico Chargers, the L.A. Chargers of Azteca Stadium, I guess. The game's in Mexico City. It's on ESPN, so Booger. Imagine going through customs with the name Booger. Joe Tessitore and Booger McFarland have the call. I was taking some notes from Joe Tessitore, who's a walking, talking cliche gas gun, so I might use some of his material.
Don't do that.
He's a bit of a hardo. Anyway, the Chiefs opened a 3-point favorite. They are favored by 4. It'll be mostly cloudy in Mexico City, 65 degrees at kickoff. We don't have a lot of time, so I'm going to take the Chiefs in this game, taking Kansas City. A couple reasons why. Kansas City blew a game against the Titans last week. The Chargers are of a similar pedigree. So you would expect Patrick Mahomes to slice up the injury-ravaged Chargers secondary in this game. But the key is, obviously, in a game like you limit the turnovers there. That's the key in all these games. But the Chargers are a mash unit. They're hobbled, twisted, mutilated, all of that. They need a witch doctor themselves at this particular point. And B, while Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson have gotten a lot of love from the media, do you know Philip Rivers is the quarterback that has actually ad-libbed for an NFL-leading 10 created receptions? How about that?
Pretty good number.
That is pretty good by Philip Rivers, according to the advanced statistics from the NFL. The Chiefs, if you lose to the Titans, you can lose to the Chargers, as we said, but I think this is a feel-good situation. If the Chargers win this game, they're right back in the divisional race. The Raiders are right back in the thick of it right there as well, because you figure they're going to beat the Bengals. So the Chiefs, this is actually a big pressure spot, because if you lose, the ramifications are huge. Chiefs 33, Chargers 23.
Penny not caught upon a mash unit, but we'll go with the L.A. California Chargers of San Diego.
There you go. And that is it. That is a wrap for this edition of Benny versus the penny. Good luck. Hope you win a lot of money. If you win a lot of money, remember us. If you lose a lot of money, this is just for entertainment purposes only. We're not held responsible for your bad picks at all. We'll be back in the Magic Radio Box on Sunday night on the West Coast at 11 o'clock. And that would be, of course, 2 a.m. in the East. And we'll talk about all these NFL games in the post-mortem. Have a great weekend. Be safe. I'll try to avoid the hospital. So we'll do it again next week. Thanks.